from meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news. Broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, it's great to be back. Been on vacation for the last couple of weeks, and it's always a big thrill to be back on the air and to start out with my friend Bobby Brown from Bobby Brown Bail Bonds. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What is new and exciting? I hear you guys made a pretty good catch here the other day.
Yes. Actually, I wasn't involved in the physical arrest of the gentleman. However, I started my... I've actually bonded him out of jail in August of 2002. And he had actually gone to court. It was a $75,000 bond. And, excuse me, he had gone to court, made all of his court appearances. And I guess I should regress a little bit because people wonder, well, wait a minute, you posted this bond. It was almost, and you have to understand, I was probably in bonding. I started in late 1990, so this was in 2002. It was a $75,000 bond, and so I was pretty careful about it. I got a deed of trust. We did an O&E. We checked Social Security numbers. We did everything kind of like textbook, and I felt really good about it, and I was glad to make money on a $75,000 bond. He had an attorney. I stayed in touch with his attorney. This man ended up being a very substantial drug dealer, and he went to court and say that, I'm sorry for the phones.
That's okay, Bob.
He paid his attorney a lot of money. He went to court every didn't miss court, didn't miss one attorney call or appointment, and on the day that they were ready to pick out a jury, he failed to appear. And his attorney was in shock, everybody was in shock, and when I got my notice in the mail that I had 120 days to either catch him or bring a check to the court for $75,000, it was a shock to me.
Yeah, wouldn't it
so
be?
So the investigation began.
Bobby Brown's here from Bobby Brown Bail Bonds. You've seen Bobby on TV, and we're going to talk about TV in a little bit. Now, Jesus turns out to be a drug dealer. People sitting back wondering about bail bondsmen and saying, okay, you bonded out this drug dealer. Why in heaven's name would you do that? Now you might be on the hook for $75,000.
Correct. And my response to that is, you know, and you have to understand, I formed the very first narcotics bureau in the history of El Paso County Sheriff's Office in 1972. So, you know, there's nobody that is, obviously I'm very much against drugs. I've stood against them, but as a law enforcement officer, as a narcotics agent, as a lieutenant in charge of homicide, and I can tell you now that 90 to 95% of all the bonds that I do are either drug-related or alcohol-related.
Yeah.
And so people ask, you know, especially when I got into the business, Bobby, how could you go from being a cop to putting them in jail to get them out of jail? Well, you know, obviously everybody has the right to bail.
Yeah.
This man had the right to bail. I exercised everything that a good bail bondsman would do. And using my police background, my investigative background, and I thought I had a solid bond, but I can tell you right now, there is no good bond. They're all bad.
So you get the notice that you're going to be on the hook for $75,000. What's next?
Then it's a matter of literally boots on the ground, going up, going to the house, contacting neighbors, contacting friends. You know, we do a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of references, and we do, you know, we try to do as much as we can possibly do in case something like this would happen. And with him being a homeowner, we had a deed of trust. I had gotten an O&E on the property. You know, it was not in foreclosure. Everything was, it was okay. But when I got the notice of forfeiture, all bets are off. Then it's either find him or pay. So I immediately, I personally became involved in this. And as we can get into whatever degree you want, I've been in it for the last 11 years. And I've chased him in and out of Mexico. I've been to Juarez. I've been to El Paso two or three times. I've been to Brighton, Adams County, probably 50 times. I have chased him all over the United States and, like I say, into Mexico, even though at that time my partner, Dog the Bounty Hunter, had a very unfortunate circumstance back there when he arrested Andrew Luster.
Right.
And so every time I went into Juarez, I was very cognizant of the fact that bad things could happen.
Bobby Brown from Bobby Brown Bail Bonds is here. Long and the short of the story is you caught him. What's next?
We have caught him. He is now the problem is this will be the fourth time that I have caught him. Three times, and I have no problem saying that we are dealing with, we have dealt with, and I won't say allegedly, I will say corrupt law enforcement officials. One specifically was suspended when I caught him, and he refused to allow me to arrest him, and that was right here in Colorado. He was suspended. Past that, he's now in jail. He's got a $1 million bond. He has an INS hold, although he had a, when I bonded him, which he still has is a legal Social Security number that is issued to him from the state of Colorado. So that tells you how high up that these people actually are. They're extremely wealthy, and he's in on a $1 million bond. And am I concerned that he could bond out? You know, actually not, because I certainly wouldn't bond him. If somebody else wants to take that risk, then I'm off. I'm off the hook on this bond only because of the fact that I had to pay $75,000 cash out of my pocket. But because of the fact that I have chased him for 11 years, I probably have at least 11,000 pages of documents sitting in my office right now, showing that this is absolutely the bounty hunt of bounty hunts, the investigation of investigations, and we finally have him. But will he wiggle out of this deal, or will they just deport him and take him back to his home in Mexico, which he would love? That remains to be seen. But I have done my job, except for I'm not going to let people off the hook for the wrong that has been done and why this person was allowed to literally evade the law. And just real quick, he was caught in a town of 5 square miles on the Mexican border that they just received their very first police car from Homeland Security. It was a town of 5 square miles, 2,000 people that didn't even have a police car. And lo and behold, they were the ones that actually stumbled on him. I can't take credit for the fact that as much work as I have done on this, that I was actually a driving force of why he got arrested.
Nevertheless, Jesus, and I'll let you say the last name, is in custody today.
Jesus Loya Quesada. He is absolutely in custody in Adams County, Colorado, on a $1 million bond.
Fantastic.
My bond.
Bobby Brown's here from Bobby Brown Investigations. Now, you've mentioned and you've made some posts, and I'm not sure how much you're going to talk about it or can talk about it, but will we see Bobby Brown back on TV soon?
Well, we are working on that as we speak, and We have been filming for the last several months. It's been slowed down a little bit because of the Michael Jackson trial that's going on in Los Angeles right now. My actually, he's an executive producer and partner and owner of Sanders Media Group, that he actually represents the Jackson family. And because of that, we had thought that we probably would have our show out in September. We are filming daily right now and putting episodes together, working with different networks, and we have a show that we have a working title right now. It's called Veil and Beyond with Bobby Brown. The Beyond is we recently went to Africa, and with an investigation that I was able to engineer with my investigative background, I can only tell you that we absolutely made the greatest capture that has ever been, ever in the world. It's going to be released, and we're in the final edit of it right now, and I'm sure that that's going to help catapult our show, and absolutely, we are going to be back, and it's going to be great to be back in reality TV.
Bobby Brown's here for about another 8 minutes or so. Bobby, let's talk about reality TV a little bit. You see it, I see it. There's some that's reality, and there's some that's just, well, for lack of a better term, scripted crap. And what's the difference between what you're offering and some of the stuff we're seeing today?
Well, you know, I can tell you when the first day that I went into reality TV was literally with my friends Doug and Beth, whom I've known for decades, and they decided that we would try a Colorado show. They put a microphone on, and I had somebody that I told them, quote, this will be an easy one. They had been traveling from Hawaii, and I said, we can just go grab this guy right away. And our very first show turned out to be a one-hour show. They put a microphone on me, and I became a part of a reality show, of one of the greatest shows that's ever been on, reality or cable TV. And obviously, that's been Dog the Bounty Hunter. And the show was not an easy one. It took us 5 days, but it turned out to be a great show. And the difference the short answer to your question is that that was my introduction to reality TV. There was no do-overs. It was exactly what you seen is what you got. That includes the lovely and lively Beth. She is exactly what you see on TV, and that's why she's beloved by millions all over the world. She is what you see is what you get. Dog, I have nothing but respect for. He has an innate ability, and I'm talking as I was a lieutenant in charge of homicide. This guy, and people ask, like, this guy came from prison. You came from a law enforcement background. What is the difference? You know, he hunts like a a criminal may think.
Yep.
He's not a criminal, but he has an innate ability to think like they do. I hunt like a law enforcement officer, but I was always successful by being able to think, well, what would this guy do? So Dog and I made a perfect match. Beth could go through files like nobody's business. So reality TV is real. The swear words got beeped. The praying, I can tell you, is real. There's no do-overs. If you fall, you fall. If you slip, you slip. It's not scripted. Our show, our show has nothing to do. And I can't say it has nothing to do with bail or bounty hunting, because the bail part of it, there is, you know, fugitive recovery, and we have to do that. But the beyond is what we have done in Africa and what we are getting ready. We've got a show that we're getting ready to do in Jerusalem. We've got one in Manila. And, of course, I can't talk about what those, but they are beyond. They are reality, and they will rock the world. It's absolutely taken my heart, and we're taking it in a total different direction, but it's reality TV. It's not scripted.
As a young officer, and I'll leave you the last word, very young, getting into law enforcement, and now many, many decades later, in bail bonds, investigations, teaching, and now television, would you have done anything different, Bobby?
No, and I'll be honest with you. I love what I do, and I do what I love, and I thank the Lord every day that, you know, I get the opportunity to do this, and certainly, you know, there's been ups and downs. I've made mistakes, and many, and I'll continue to make mistakes, but I will continue to do what I love. I love to help people. I'm blessed with being able to do pro bono work, to work on cold case homicides. That'll be in the beyond part of our show, just things that we're doing with children that we are able to get hospitalization for. There's just a lot in the beyond, and what it is, the beyond, is a blessing to me from the beyond, and that is, you know, my Heavenly Father.
Bobby, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. God bless, and thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's Bobby Brown from Bobby Brown Bail Bonds. You've seen him on Dog the Bounty Hunter every day. For the last number of years, Bobby was in law enforcement for decades and then got into the bail business. And now he's going to be back with his own show on a network yet to be named. And I'm sure it'll be a hit. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back here on Scared Monkeys Radio with Jackie Hollander. You know her as a victim's advocate. And we're going to talk to a retired DEA agent, a fellow by the name of Kelly Schneider. First time talking to Kelly, and talk about his organization, Find Me Too. So this is the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm glad to be back, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. Jackie Hollander, good friend of the program, is here. She's a victim's advocate, a victim, someone who's been out there fighting the fight for those that aren't able to. And Kelly Schneider is a new guest. He's a retired DEA agent, and he's started something new called Find Me Too, and I'm happy to have them both on this evening. Good evening, folks. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Kelly, I want to start with you, Kelly. Tell us a little bit about Find Me Too.
Well, Find Me Too is our website, but Find Me is a group that I started about 11 years ago, and started out with retired law enforcement, which is what I am, obviously.
Right.
And it was to help people find missing persons. Originally, it started with missing children, and then we had our first request for a missing adult and didn't see a reason to turn anyone away for that. So, and then missing adults turned out to be homicides every once in a while, so then we started working homicides, and then we started using psychics. I thought I would check into that to see if there was some truth to it, and then after having back-to-back successes by using the psychics, then of course I started using them continuously. And currently there's 132 psychics in the group. Jackie's one of them. She just joined the group as a psychic about, I think, 4, 5, 6 months ago, somewhere in that vicinity, and she's been working on cases ever since. And then slowly and methodically, our group evolved. We have 3 airplanes. We have an organization called Arizona Search, Track, and Rescue that I was with for 3 years prior to starting my own group when I was with the National Center for Missing Children. And then we just stayed together once I created the Find Me organization. And then there's still current and retired law enforcement. We have people in forensics that are current and retired forensics people, and handwriting experts, linguistics experts. We're broadening out as much as we can to cover all of the bases, and It's an organization of almost 160 currently, and still growing.
That's fantastic. Kelly Snyder is here, and Jackie Hollander. Jackie, where are you tonight?
I am in Pontiac, Illinois. I'm sure this was a little bombshell that was dropped on you about my ability.
Yep.
A lot of people that are close to me have known it for years and years, and it's one of the things that has kept me alive and possibly helped me to dig in the evidence of my case. And I was very fortunate to team up with Kelly, and of course he put me through the ringer. I get the cases every day, but I'm not ashamed that I have this gift. I believe it's from God, and it's done a lot of good for a lot of people.
Kelly, my background too is law enforcement. I'm not sure if Jackie told you or not, and
yes, she did.
I'm still current. And yet I've been doing this program now for, well, I guess, close to 17 years. And what we try to do here is help others that haven't been able to help themselves, getting the word out, getting the voice out to those that don't know where to turn. Your organization sounds like something very similar. But how does one come to you and say, listen, and I'm going to use Lacey Gaines as an example of a case because I've covered it many times here on the program. How does someone come to you and say, Lacey Gaines, a murder victim, and we're getting nowhere with it, help us?
Well, in the case of Lacey Gaines, the aunt did get in touch with me, and that is, to some degree, the association and how I got hooked up with Jackie. And the long and the short of it is, all they have to do is contact our organization via our website, the findme2.com website, and we'll take a look at the case. The key component for our organization, and this is a protocol I established 11 years ago, is that we will not work a case unless the police are working it or will at least receive our information and look into it with our information. And if they don't agree with that, then we won't work the case. In some of the foreign countries, because of the backward, for lack of a better term, the backward and non-professionalism of some police organizations out there, we will provide information to the family on missing people, but we will not assist them in a murder case because we do not supply suspect-related information to anyone except law enforcement.
And I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's a good thing. Why work against them? You were all on the same team here. So when you, Jackie, get a request, and I don't want you to get into specifics, but you and I have talked about several cases over the years here, Lacey in particular, and we all want to try and help. But how do you work with the Find Me folks? Obviously, some skeptics out there will, you know, scratch their heads and say, psychics, no way. But I'm a true believer.
Recently, I was in, I did a visual for Lacey Gaines in Steger a couple of nights ago and in Palos Hills. It was the most chilling thing I've ever done. I knew that Lacey was there. I was able to call her aunt and tell her aunt places that she had been. And, of course, she had been at those places. To prove the fact, I actually took her picture. I walked into a nail salon and I said, "Is this your customer?" And I had called her mother earlier, Ann Kelly, and said, "I feel this woman here." And of course, they confirmed that she was one of their regular customers, that she did come in there. Oddly enough, there is no doubt in my mind, after being in Steger, that you do not bring up Lacey Gaines around the police. You do not bring her up. I held a candlelight vigil for her in almost a sold-out crowd. Everybody burned candles for her, but outside they were protesting it. And I found out later, of course, it was actually some people that had claimed that they were Lacey Gaines' friends to her aunt. And There's no doubt there's a cover-up in the city of Steger of this case because of certain individuals involved. So if that answers your question on the Lacey case and on the other cases that I'm given from Kelly, I'm given a picture. And basically I look at the picture and I look into the eyes, and of course it's always better if you have me in person at the site, because then I can really tell you everything that went on. But if I look at a picture, I can pretty much tell you if they're deceased or if they're alive or what happened. I feel whether they were hit in the head. I feel whether they were stabbed. I feel whether it was a drug overdose. I feel whether there was crimes around it.
Kelly, I got to ask you this.
Usually right.
I got to ask Kelly. Kelly Snyder's here from Find Me. The website's Find Me 2. It's the number 2. .com. Long time in law enforcement. There's a lot of old time coppers out there that are very skeptical when it comes to using a psychic. Did you have any reservations at the start?
Well, it wasn't so much reservations as just wanted to keep an open mind, because as I've told people a lot in the 11 years now that I've been working with psychics, is I wanted to see if it did work. And have an open mind for that reason, because if it did work, it's just like cheating for a really good cause. Getting information that normally you couldn't find. If, and how many times as police officers have often said, if I could just get one break.
Right.
Well, that's the way I look at the psychics. They are a tool, an investigative tool, that they've come up with this information. No one knows, you know, why or how they have this gift, and very, very seldom will a psychic tell you that they know exactly where the gift has come from, and it's just that they do have the gift and they use it for the good. There are the frauds out there, and the way I've made it more palatable to police departments is I filter all of the information. Every psychic sends their information to me. I throw out the stuff that the police don't want to hear about and don't want to know about, and just give them the basic facts of where the person is and who did it, if there's foul play involved. And we don't send them to the corner of 5th and Vine, and 50 yards from that point somewhere in the woods is the body.
Right.
We give them GPS coordinates, and they go to these GPS coordinates, and usually one, two, or three or more were right exactly where the person is, dead or alive.
Jackie,
so once you start having that kind of success, and I've been doing this, like I say, for 11 years, let me tell you, I would not spend 1 second with a psychic if I knew it didn't work and I found out for sure that it didn't work. So the fact that it does work makes me continue to work with them, and that's why, you know, the psychics find out that I'm the one that's filtering it all for them, and they don't have to talk to the police and have the phone hung up on them. And believe me, in 11 years, I've only been turned away 10 times by a police department. And out of those 10 times, 6 were from a foreign country and 4 in the United States turned me away. And everyone else has accepted my information. And, of course, I can't force them to do certain things because I'm a civilian now. But
right.
At least I know how to talk to them. And I explain to them, you have nothing to lose except read my report. And if you think there's something in it that's going to help you, use it. And then basically it's up to them to follow through.
Jackie, I got to ask you, as a victim yourself, there must be pressure on you, and I know you quite well, I believe, that you want to do the right thing and you want to help all you can. How much does this affect you? Because I hate that term closure, but I know you want to get answers for the families.
Well, as a victim, I think when I was brutally raped, I think that's what really caused it. I'd been this way since I was a child. I think that's what really turned it on in full force. And after Mr. Brown's passing, it came on even stronger. And the answer to your question is, I do. I get a lot of phone calls. I get phone calls not just from Kelly, but I get them all over the country with people that know my ability. I sit down with people, and it's very difficult. It's a lot of pressure, because it tires you out, because I'm one of these people that I actually can communicate with the person that has passed on, and that's the person that really gives me all the information, is to where, what's happened to them, how it happened to them, who did it to them, and I can see clearly the faces and sometimes the places and stuff like that. And it's difficult.
Kelly, being in law enforcement myself, opting into retirement myself in the next 2 or 3 years, you can't be funding this yourself. This is a big endeavor. You're doing a lot of good. How do people help?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. For 7.5 years, I funded the organization 100% out of my pocket.
But jeez.
In the last 3 years plus, we did start collecting dues just to keep things afloat as far as new equipment for computers and keeping the website up. And the dues basically keep us afloat, but now we're putting on a full court press with trying to do fundraisers, because what's really taking, you know, the wind out of our sails is when we get asked to take our dogs and, of course, our airplanes, and everyone is doing this all out of our pocket.
Right.
So we now finally, in order to never have to ever tell someone, no, we can't help them, we're putting on fundraisers, and we just started this process about 2 months ago. And the whole purpose of it, of course, is to get more money into the coffers so that we never have to say no if someone needs our dogs or our airplanes or us to travel to assist law enforcement. We just don't want to ever have to turn around and say that that horrible word to a family that has a missing loved one and tell them, no, we can't do it. We can't afford it.
Jackie, I got to ask you a question. Don't you ever get tired? You're giving her all the time. You're always trying to do something. The system failed you, so to speak, but you're there trying to make the system better. How does that affect you?
You know, I don't think the system really failed me. You know, I think power, I think there should be an icon law, like I've always said. I think that, unfortunately, today in this time that money talks. And it did in my case with him. He was a powerful man. I think that right now, Reverend Al Sharpton has made his big mistake in the United States, and after his NBC News thing, and I think now he's on his platform to jump into the water in the sea. And I hope to be on Scared Monkeys with my tapes and releasing them of Mr. Sharpton. And I think that will be justice for me. And as far as for Kelly, this man, you can't say enough for him. He is, you know, working with me and believes in me, stands beside me, is behind me 100%. And I talked to you, and I think of the Natalie Holloway case. I felt a lot through that one. I knew a lot through that one. I couldn't come on your radio show and go, hello, Dana, let me tell you what's going on down there. And that's difficult. So, you know, if you ever need anything, Dana, please pick up the phone and call Kelly or me.
Kelly, last question. I'm going to give you the last word here. The organization, again, Find Me Too, or Find Me, and the website findme2.com. You do utilize psychics. You work with current and retired law enforcement. You do a lot of search recovery. Again, costs, people can go to the website and donate. But this is a pretty open-ended question. A long time in the DEA, a lot of law enforcement, they retire, but they can never really get it out of their blood. They continue doing what they're doing until, well, the day that they can't anymore. But I'm going to ask you this. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, it started out just, you know, wanting to help children, and that blossomed into someone asked me to join the National Center for Missing Children, and once you start meeting the parents, then you're hooked. I mean, you really want to help them, and I felt that I needed to broaden the scope of that help, because in 3 years with the National Center for Missing Children, I was only sent on 3 investigations, and that's just not me. I don't want to sit and wait for the phone to ring. So in answer to your question, I just wanted to, you know, give back, which you hear all the time, but I didn't want to just sit idle and play golf and do all the other things you do when you're retired. And with that said, all these people that are getting ready to retire, this is a great thing to get involved with, is trying to help missing children, trying to help missing adults. And when you do finally find them, whether they are deceased or alive, it's really a great feeling. And I guess that is the reward. For me, at least, it is. I don't know how everyone else feels, but I think I can speak for at least most of my members, is that that is the reward.
Yeah,
and you know, Dana, can I interrupt?
Sure.
You? There are a lot of people that pass over that the big reward is being found, because they're aware that their family is suffering, and they're aware that their loved ones are suffering. And when they are found, it does bring comfort. You know, it doesn't matter if it takes someone 10 years to find them. They are always guiding. They are always, there is always someone like me out there that they speak to. And they will bring you home to them. They will do it.
I guess last question, and Kelly, and I'd already said this once, but I'll say now my final last question. Social media helps, obviously, in today's society. The mainstream media does one thing: they grab a hold of a case and go on and on and on and on with it, and there are 900 other cases that don't get that word out. What more would you like to see your organization be able to do?
Well, we are looking at possibly doing a TV series, and I think once that has come to fruition, and if it does get on TV, which I think it will, then that door is going to open like you won't believe.
Yeah.
And what my real hope is that other retired law enforcement psychics from all around the world will start thinking about doing organizations just like mine, for the simple reason that we couldn't handle it all even if we wanted to. So there needs to be more organizations like mine, and I'll certainly be glad to tell the people how to do it. I wrote a book about it, how to do what I'm doing, so it's not like I'm trying to keep it a secret.
Okay, again, the website, Find Me Too, and that's the number 2.com. Jackie, Kelly, thank you.
Thanks for having us
on. Thank you, Dana.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that's Kelly Schneider and Jackie Hollander. And, you know, believe in psychics or don't believe in psychics. I've seen cases where they've actually been able to help. But this organization is a lot more than just psychics. Yes, they utilize them, but there's search, recovery, forensics, all sorts of things. And the more groups and the more organizations out there that work like Find Me and others, you know, we've talked about Texas EquiSearch for years here on this program, the better. And these people dedicate their lives and their resources and everything, and a lot of times they fund it themselves. I'm not surprised that Kelly paid for a lot of this on his own. But you do it because you want to help. Are you helping? I hope so. People out there are looking for answers. Some use that term closure, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's it. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We're found at www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. Our sister blog site is scaredmonkeys.com. There you can find out everything about current events and what's going on today. And, of course, the radio show page is scaredmonkeysradio.com. I thank you for listening, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.